from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Mike McDonald, defensive coordinator, lined him up all over. Herbert, first down, pulled it down, and he will be pulled down. He's sacked by Travis Jones.
That's against the Chargers last year. NBC Mike Tirico on the call, and as you heard, Travis Jones getting to the QB there. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, NFL Lunch here on this Featured Artist Friday. Another player entering his third year in the league, and that was, yeah, 1.5 sacks, so I guess that was the one right there.
All right, Travis Jones, when he came out of UConn, and they were awful, and one of the big things was he had to play, he played every play, which was not a good thing for him because he would take plays off. Now, Travis is 6'4", 3.25", ran 4.92, which is excellent. 34.25 arms, excellent. 10.25 hand, good. He was a junior when he came out. 28.5 vertical, which is all right. 4.58 short shuttle, which is good. Good side-to-side speed. Now, he's first team All-State, New Haven, Connecticut. Went to UConn. 2018, started 10 games as a freshman. 55 tackles, 5.5 tackles for loss, half a sack. 2019, saw action in all 12 games and had 40 tackles, 3.5 sacks. 2020, they didn't play. 2021, 48 tackles, 4.5 sacks. Now his strength, size, speed, length. He's quick off the snap, shows power on the bull rush, quick hand punch into the O-line in pass, and he's powerful. Strong hands with his push-pull. Flashes ability to swim and beat the guard and make play. He can stack a double team, flashes initial quickness off the ball, flashes slap move and push, shows his 4.92 in chase, adequate length with big hands, wide body, has play strength to press and stabilize when he's setting the edge. Gap control potential in the middle. Possesses potential to elevate his game. Flashes power to push through. Attempt to seal him. Center will require help to block him. Weakness. Must use hands on pass rush. Not quick-footed. Not quick off the snap. Must help. Must keep shoulder square. Will catch off the ball some. Gets too high. Must extend arms consistently. Not explosive all the snap. Off the snap. Must keep low. Likes to stand up. Not quick change of direction. Takes plays off. Not twitchy off the ball into the block. Fails to generate early control with hand quicknesses. He's got room for improvement with pad level and hand use. Hands and feet aren't in sync to unload on the edge as a rusher. In summary, I said this kid's a nose tackle with size and power. He is raw and inconsistent in his techniques. He flashes some pass rush ability to win quickly, but not consistent. I saw his 4.92 in chase. This is a kid that will get better with coaching, going on some impressive flashes. And that's the thing that you like about him. And that's the thing, Bob, what have we seen with the Ravens? Same kind of stuff is we've seen the flashes. And, you know, he's putting a little bit more together. To me right now, you know, he's playing better in the run stuff for the Ravens. And he's requiring a double team there. Like he and Pierce kind of rotate in there, and that's a hell of a combination. But I said the same thing about Matabike. He had the quickness and the explosiveness expected. Was disappointed early on from Matabike with his sack ability because he's got potential, and so does Travis Jones. And I think that's why Ostreicher thinks that he's going to, you know, really increase his sacks. But he's got the initial quickness to get up the field. He just got to have it in his head that he can do it. And, you know, because some of the times, you know, he's laid off the ball. What's he thinking about? You know, because all you're doing is watching the ball. You go in the ball snap. And I think Chuck Smith will help him a lot, too, with his pass rush moves and his counters and things. So can he – what I'd like to see is for him to get the 5 sacks. And I think he's got that ability. And the thing that you like about him is when he's in there, he will chase. He'll do that. But just need consistency because, like in college, everything was flash, flash, flash. His rookie year, I thought, was pretty much the same thing, was flashes. Did a little bit more this past year. In year 3, take that big jump. And I think that's what the Ravens and everybody there are expecting from him.
Yeah, he turns 25 in October. First 2 years in the league, and not getting a ton of snaps, but getting his share, 2.5 sacks.
Right.
So if he doubles that, we're satisfied with his third season because Matabike started to come on in the second half of his third season, yep. And then last year became an All-Pro and now a highly paid defensive player at the NFL level.
What? How many tackles did Travis Jones have the first 2 years?
Let's see. At 24... his rookie season in 15 games last year, 36 and 17.
Yeah, so he's getting more reps as a second year and stuff. But, you know, he's finding football. He's getting off blocks. He's making more plays. And if he can keep, you know, all right, so his rookie year he had 24, then 36. So he's on the right progression, you know. And this year, he's going to play more this year. So he's in the 40-some tackles. But get that 5.5 sacks. Get that push on the inside and win some of those one-on-one battles because he's got the feet. He's got the quickness and athletic ability to do it, and he's got length. So I'd be disappointed, Bob, if he doesn't get close to 5.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan NFL Lunch here on this Featured Artist Friday. Little Earth, Wind, and Fire is chosen by you, the people. Got the American League East report coming up here in a couple of minutes, but Jeremy Fowler, ESPN.com is doing some positional rankings or based on executives, coaches, and scouts as they give him the intel. Top 10 safeties in the National Football League heading into the season. Number one?
Better be Hamilton.
Antoine Winfield Jr.
No way.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
About 5'9".
Was rated number 10 last year. 25 years old, 6 sacks, 6 forced fumbles, 4 fumble recoveries, 3 picks last year. So a little gaudy numbers there for sure.
Yeah, and he's a good player, but I don't. Yeah, but I guess I'm biased, but I'd rather have a guy who's 6'4", 220 pounds, and can do the things that he can do. And I'll bet you that he couldn't cover, and even because he couldn't cover Travis Kelce. And Travis Kelce said, I've never been covered so closely. He says, but Mahomes put the ball in perfect places.
Number two, Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah.
Last year, unranked going into the season.
Rightfully so.
But he and Mike McDonald, as Jeremy writes, certainly meshed together. NFC scout, ultimate Swiss Army knife that was used in every way possible last season. He was a defender opposing offenses had to be aware of on every snap. The only thing that people would point out is his lack of speed, where, you know, maybe covering the deep ball could be detrimental to him.
You know what? That was the thing. That's the only reason the Ravens got him. Because, what, he ran 4.7 at Notre Dame or whatever. But on film, at Notre Dame, he plays fast. I mean, like, do you notice in those games, Bob, lack of speed?
No.
I don't either. I mean, he plays fast. He's got catch-up speed. The only thing that I notice is being 6'4", and when he's in the slot with those quicker receivers, he's going to take a little bit longer to break down and stuff and get out of his pedal.
Tight ends were released today. Executives, coaches, and scouts. Jeremy Fowler writing the reports here. Number one, tight end, Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
34 years old, though. Okay. George Kittle, number two.
Uh-huh.
And then Mark Andrews coming in at number three. Sam Laporta out of the Lions. Hockenson, former Lion. Let's see. Njoku had a bust-out season. Joe Flacco had a lot to do with him.
Yes,
rising
he did,
up them
because
charts.
He wasn't. Watkins didn't throw to him much.
Dallas Goedert, 7. Dalton Kincaid, Buffalo. Evan Engram, who we talked about earlier, number 9er. And then Dalton Schultz there in Houston. So pretty strong tight end group. Isaiah Likely, according to the scouts, et cetera, et cetera. He didn't even get a vote. No vote. Not even others receiving votes. He got a nothing burger.
Well, that's all right, because Hamilton last year was a 0, and then he was 2 this year.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Speaking of zeros, Orioles will put up 24 consecutive innings of those. We got the American League East report coming your way. And then Danielle Allen Tuck, Baltimore Banner, talk about the Birds and Yankees 3-game set starting tonight. And then the All-Star break, and they coming back needs to be addressed. And what are they going to address them with here?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
About it on the Fan.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East.
Vinny and Haney.
Time for the American League East report here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's Earth, Wind, and Fire. A couple more segments to go, so get your song request in at 410-583-1057. Orioles get swept by the Cubbies. 8-0 final score yesterday. Justin Steele, 7 innings pitched, 3 hits, no runs, no walks, 4 Ks. Very effective, to say the least. Albert Suarez took the loss. He drops to 5-3 on the year. Cole Irvin got rocked. 4 innings of relief. Cole Irvin for the better part of a month. He's been really bad. Pitched himself out of the rotation. As Dean Kramer came back, he was readjusted to the bullpen, and I don't recall him providing much relief because he pitched in that debacle against Oakland last weekend, too. Cole Irvin did, and was serving up some souvenirs. So if you're in a giving mood, I get that. You know, it's summertime. Everybody looks for some gifts around this time, and he's giving souvenir baseballs. Okay, it's good. Got to stop. We prefer that he doesn't do it. Well, the Orioles, they get outscored 21-12. They'd be lucky if it was 21-12. It was 21-2. They scored 2 runs in the opener as they get clobbered there. And then after that, all she wrote, zeros. 24 consecutive innings. 21-2. Chicago outscores the Orioles, who are the second highest scoring team in baseball, which we get to here in a few minutes. Orioles were 0-17 with runners in scoring position during the series. Swept at home, 3-game set for the first time in 3 years. Remember, the 2021 Orioles were bad. Bad. And it's been a while. Now they've been swept 3 times this year. And that one was pretty bad by the Cubbies as the Orioles struggle against the NL Central here. Good news, though. Anthony Santander was named to the All-Star team, replacing the injured Kyle Tucker. 5th Oriole All-Star, most since 2016. To revisit that one, Manny Machado, Matt Wieters, Mark Trumbo, Brad Brock, Zach Britton. Orioles did go to the wild card round, lost to the Jays. Obaldo gives up the first pitch homer to the old parrot arm there, and that was all she wrote, but it is what it is. Orioles taking on the Yankees, who just dropped 2 out of 3 to the Rays, which we'll get to here in a second. Stats between the two teams, real quick, couple of them of interest. Batting average, Orioles 254, which is 6th best in Major League Baseball. Yankees 247, that's 12th. Home runs, the Orioles have hit 147, that's 1st in baseball. Yankees 134, that's 2nd. Run scored, Orioles 466, that's 2nd. Yankees 473, that's 1st. OPS, Orioles 769, that's tied for 1st. Yankees 752, that's 4th. Runners in scoring position, however, Orioles 254 batting average, it's 17th. Woo. In baseball. Yankees 275, tied for 6th. The Orioles, one of the best teams in baseball last year in that category. Pitching wise, team earned run average, Orioles 366, that's 6th. Yankees 360, that's 4th. Starters earned run average, Orioles 354, that's 4th. They were 2nd earlier this week. 366 for the Yankees, that's 8th. Bullpen earned run average, Orioles 386, that's 14th. Yankees 355, that's 8th. Batting average against, Orioles 227, that is 5th. Yankees 226, that is 4th. Orioles team earned run average in the month of July is over 5er. A strong 5er here. So some 2 good offenses that are struggling right now, and 2, for the most part, good pitching staffs that have come a cropper here as of late. Last night in the division, though, let's bounce around a little bit. Let's not harp on the Orioles and Yankees sucking, shall we? How about those Blue Jays out in San Francisco doing some stuff?
Jansen drives one to deep left, and it is gone. Number 6 on the season for Danny Jansen. That one is highlight worthy, and it is 3-0.
That's Dan Schulman on the call. Sportsnet, Danny Jansen. Home run there. 5-3 final score. Blue Jays take 2 out of 3 from the Giants. Kevin Gausman got the win. Speaking of those Yankees, they're down at the drop, taking on the Rays. And a usual pain in the ass to the Orioles was a pain in the ass to the Yankees last night.
And there's a shot to left. That's going to do it. All the way back and gone. Home run around the arena.
Dwayne Stats, Bally Sports on the call. 5-4 final scores. Tampa holds off New York. Arosa Reina, as you heard, with the home run there. Tampa wins 2 out of 3 against New York in that series. And we've been talking about the Red Sox, and rightfully so. A's got a taste of that last night.
It's a hitter you're not sure. Oh, there's launch.
Yes. Wong gets a hold of one. And a smash deep out of here. Man, did he crush it. Totally out of Fenway for number 8.
Connor Wong with a home run. That's Nesson on the call. 7-0. Final scores. The Red Sox take 2 out of 3 from the Oakland Athletics. Schedule in the division this weekend outside of New York and Baltimore. Cleveland. How about the Guardians? Just lost 3 out of 4 to the Tigers. They're at the Trop 650. Kansas City at Boston. Some wild card hopefuls there. 7-10 first pitch. And Toronto showing a pulse as of late. They're at Arizona taking on the defending National League champion Diamondbacks. 9:40 first pitch. Standings update. Orioles 2 games up on the Yankees. Birds have lost 3 in a row. 6 of 10. The Yankees come in, obviously 2 games back. They've lost 7 of 10 as they drop 2 out of 3 to the Rays. Boston now 10 games over 500. Only 5.5 games off the pace in the division. Only 3.5 behind New York. Red Sox have won 8 of 10. Tampa creeping closer to getting to 500 again. They're 46 and 47. And then Toronto, they have won 2 in a row, but they're still scuffle city. What are they going to do at the trade deadline? They're last place, 7 games under 500. Cleveland's dropped 2 straight. They're 4.5 ahead of Minnesota. In the Central, Kansas City's won 3 in a row. They're 7 off the pace. Seattle, they've won 3 straight, kind of righted the ship a little bit, still holding off Houston, who's won 3 in a row, 2-game advantage there. Texas, as we talked about earlier with the Gabe Lax, they're 5 games below 500. They have won 7 of 10. The Orioles will face them out of the All-Star break in Arlington. In the National League, things getting ugly here. Phillies have won 3 in a row. Braves have lost 2 in a row. Phillies have a 9.5-game lead. In the NL Eastern Division, but Atlanta's been decimated by injuries. Let's not forget that one. Hey, but Philly's been banged up, too. Schwarber and Harper just came back. Trey Turner missed some time, so can't blame injuries on everything. You know what I'm saying? In the Central, we were talking about this as well. Murph and his boys, the Brujas, 5 games up on the Cardinals. Dodgers are 7 up on the Padres, but both L.A. and San Diego are riding 4-game losing streaks. Your wild card numbers heading into the final weekend before the All-Star break. If the playoffs started today, which they don't, Yankees, Twinkies, and Red Sox would be the American League wild cards, with Kansas City 1 game out, Houston 2.5 back, then Tampa 5.5, and everybody 7 and beyond. Angels, Athletics, and White Sox, forget about it. In the National League, things are interesting here. Atlanta, St. Louis would be in. The Mets would be in. How about the Mets?
Damn.
They would be the third wild card, percentage points ahead of San Diego. Diamondbacks, as bad as they've been, they're back at 500. They're only 1 game back. Pirates 2.5 out, as Paul Skeens has been named today as the starter. National League All-Star team. Giants, Reds 3 back. Same with the Cubbies there. The Nats are only 6 off the pace, and they're right. They got 5-game losing streak. But they're only 6 out of the wild card. What's real? What's fantasy? We'll find out with the trade deadline. Who's going to say, hey, look, you know, this is fool's gold. You know, let's start selling, looking ahead to the bigger picture here. Speaking of the All-Star break and the trade deadline, Danielle Allentuck, Baltimore Banner, joining us next. That it's a funhouse trip. Nolan McGraw, Inside Access live from Pickles, coming up at 2 o'clock. And then it's Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Me and Jim Hunter getting you ready for the Orioles-Yankees. Game 1 of 3. We're talking about it here at 105.7 The Fan for many, many years. So we'll keep you up to date on that. If it ends, probably won't be over by the time we get out of here at 2 o'clock, but you get it. It's creeping closer. Hey, we had Jonas Schaefer on earlier from the Baltimore Banner, like Danielle is from, and he did his top 20 Ravens. Well, I got the top 10, and this is all up for debate, and he's not disrespecting anyone, I wouldn't think. Number 1, Raven.
Oh, Lamar.
Number 2.
Roquan.
Kyle Hamilton.
Oh.
He's got Roquan 3, Derrick Henry 4.
Ooh.
Number 5, Justin Madubuike. Number 6, Tyler Linderbaum.
Ooh.
Number 7, Zay Flowers. Number 8, Mark Andrews.
Whoa, down a little bit.
Niner is Justin Tucker. And this one could be kind of interesting to debate if you choose to do so. Number 10, Marlon Humphrey.
What?
Marlon Humphrey.
Jonas.
Coming in at number 10.
I'd like to ask him. Jonas Colbeck.
Yeah. Ronnie Stanley. Okay. Maybe 5 years ago, he's in this top 10.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Marlon's spot would probably be underrated at that time. But what about, you know, Marcus Williams? I guess the injuries have.
Well, Stevens would be ahead of Humphrey.
There you go. Brandon Stevens, who really blossomed last year as the Ravens' number one cornerback. But, you know, it goes to show you how good the team is. But Marlon Humphrey seems to be a player and just turned 28. Let's stress that. Still young. Who seems to be in the decline, not on the ascend, where Stevens is kind of the opposite. He's ascending to a big payday, where Marlon just seems to be hanging on a little bit.
Well, Stevens, you're right. Stevens is due for a payday. And Humphrey's due for a pay cut.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a nice thing to debate, no doubt about it. And, you know, hopefully there'll be some other players that come out of nowhere. Maybe a Dafe Owe finally Rashad Bateman. Isaiah Likely, maybe, depending on how he and Andrews could coexist as productive parts of a Todd Monken offense.
You know what would have been interesting, Bob? Say Keaton Mitchell didn't get hurt. Where would he be? Do they trade for Henry if Mitchell had a big year?
That's a very interesting question, but he's hurt.
Yep.
Hopefully he'll be back at some point. But let's get to the Orioles as we stay with the Baltimore banner. We talk Jonas Schaefer. Let's welcome back to the show. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Orioles taking on the Yankees, 3-game series. First place is on the line. Can't undersell this thing or oversell it. Let's bring in Danielle Allentuck. Danielle, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Of course. Happy to be here.
Yeah, well, appreciate your time. I know you're busy because the Birds and Yankees got a lot to play for tonight heading into the break. Orioles got embarrassed by the Cubs, no other way to say it, as they go quietly 3-game sweep. But it seemed as though Brandon Hyde was frustrated with the Orioles' offensive approach, especially with runners in scoring position. Last year, Orioles led Major League Baseball with 287 batting average, runners in scoring position. Yeah, 287. This year, they're 17th. Danielle, I know there's a lot of layers to this, but why the significant drop-off in that category, especially where they are right now, what, 0 for their last 17 with that situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're exactly right. That was the story in the first two games. Last night, they just couldn't get anything going at all, any hits at all. I think the makeup of the team, the way that they're scoring this year is very home run dependent. You know, they lead the majors in homers, and that's all great and all, but kind of the situational hitting has fallen off as a result. They have all these power guys, and they're just always trying to get that big hit in those situations. You know, they're trying to get that homer when guys are on base and they need it instead of necessarily just, you know, taking a single, you know, driving in one run at a time. You're just kind of missing that aspect on this team right now. I think some of that does come from, you know, being a younger team. You know, they all want to be the hero in those situations and come up big. But a lot of it is just, you know, kind of switching that mentality for them.
Now, Danielle, you're in that clubhouse all the time, so you certainly have a better grasp of this than we do, sitting on our butts watching the games on television. But with the All-Star break looming, got 5 All-Stars, the Yankees series, which starts tonight, when the Cubs come to town, at the time they were in last place, maybe a little overlookage there, at least game 1 or 2, maybe?
I don't know if it was overlooked. I think that they're all definitely ready for the All-Star break. And I think that just the NL Central, for whatever reason, has given them so much trouble over the past 2 years. I don't know if anybody has an explanation for that. Hyde certainly didn't, and neither did the players in the clubhouse. But just something about when that division comes to town, they just have so much trouble. And maybe you're right. Maybe they are completely overlooking them because it is kind of a weaker division. But you saw what happened in St. Louis earlier when they got swept there and just didn't play well at all either. So I don't know if it was – I think it was just kind of a combination of factors. It was probably the worst series I've seen them play in the past 2 years.
Danielle Allentuck, Baltimore Banner, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Orioles taking on the Yankees, 7:05 first pitch. Cade Povich against Garrett Cole. I know the trade deadline coming up here, Danielle, in a couple of weeks. What sort of intel are you getting in regards to what Mike Elias might be doing? Everybody's going to need pitching. It's not like everyone's about to deal Paul Skeens or Tarik Skubal to the Orioles just to make us feel great about ourselves. So what or how creative, I guess, could Mike Elias be in trying to add another piece to both the bullpen and the rotation?
I think he just needs to be willing to do whatever it takes to get a starter in particular, but some bullpen help too, because you never know how Danny Coulomb's going to look when he comes back in September, if he's even going to stay on time and be able to come back then. So they need pitching help. You know, right now their starting pitching is no better than they were a year ago when they got bounced in the playoffs in three games. So they need to find an arm. They have the prospects to deal. You know, everybody knows that they have the prospects. It's just a matter of what are they willing to part with. And it's going to take a lot to get a strong starter at this point in the year. You know, they don't even necessarily need a depth piece. They need that number two, number three guy to help them out in the postseason. And it's just how willing is this new ownership group and Mike Elias going to be to part with some of these young guys to bring that in.
Hey, Danielle, we got the draft coming up on Sunday, and Elias doesn't like to take pitchers. Now, and I asked Bob this earlier, if the Orioles had that first pick, what was it, last year? Would Elias have taken Paul Skeens?
Oh, interesting scenario. I would like to say yes.
So would we.
But I think if it was last year, my answer was yes. If it was 4 years ago, my answer would have been no. The only reason I changed the answer if it was last year is because they already have kind of the young position players and they're close to the majors. So he already knows that they're successful and he has them under control for a couple years. And so I think he may have been more willing to go get a pitcher. But Paul Skeens is like a once-in-a-generation talent. I think anybody would have been dumb to pass over him.
Now, Bob's been singing this for the last couple of days. Like with Kerstead, doesn't he need to face some left-handed pitchers, you know, to be able to hit left-handed pitching?
I mean, I agree. I mean, I think the same thing could be said for Jackson Holliday. You know, they kept saying the same thing about him, that he couldn't hit left-handed pitching, but they never played him against left-handed pitching.
Well, so just like Kerstead wasn't a good fielder, you know, and he's played pretty good in the field.
And they're playing him in left field every night, which is one of the toughest spots there, and he's looked fine to me there. So, I think that he should get a chance. You know, I don't think you really know what you have in a player until you put them in all situations. And I think what Kirk said in particular, they kind of put him in this box where they were like, okay, he can only hit, you know, one side and he can't play defense. We're just going to use him as a DH on select nights. And I think the more opportunities they've given him, the more that they've seen that, you know, maybe he's gotten a lot better, or maybe that they were just wrong for boxing him in like that.
Danielle Allentuck, Baltimore Banner, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Danielle, last thing for you. Get out the Baltimore Banner crystal ball on Monday morning. Will the Orioles still be in first place in the American League's Eastern Division?
I say yes, but only a one-game lead.
Oh! Danielle, don't make me do math. That doesn't sound good for the Orioles. Danielle, appreciate the time. Have fun this weekend at Camden Yards. Enjoy the All-Star break, and we'll talk to you in the second half.
Thanks, Danielle.
Thank you.
You got it, Danielle Allentuck. We'll come back. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw, Inside Access live from Pickles. And then it's Baltimore baseball tonight. Me and Jim Hunter, we're going to be inside of Pickles having a little fun with you and Yankee fans. By the way, Yankees, they don't wear the names on the back of their jersey. And then it's Baltimore baseball tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Me and Jim Hunter. I will say this. Make room. Make room. Don't crowd us. Just clear some space. Rashawn Trippy, if you're coming down to the game, we're going to be in Pickles. So make sure you don't come empty-handed, but just don't crowd us. Jim likes his private space, his personal space. Don't mess with him. We're trying to do the show. And again, when we have the headphones on, that means we're on the air. Can't hear a word you say. Headphones means air. We're on the air. But we'll be at Pickles tonight, so stop by and say hello. It's going to be crowded. It's raining. It sucks. I'd prefer 99 with 100% humidity than standing outside and having a little fun doing what we got to do.
A America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For many, many years, so we'll keep you up to date on that. If it ends, probably won't be over by the time we get out of here at 2 o'clock. But you get it. It's creeping closer. Hey, we had Jonas Schaefer on earlier from the Baltimore Banner, like Danielle is from. And he did his top 20 Ravens. Well, I got the top 10, and this is all up for debate, and he's not disrespecting anyone, I wouldn't think. Number one, Raven.
Oh, Lamar.
Number two.
Roquan.
Kyle Hamilton.
Oh.
He's got Roquan 3, Derrick Henry 4.
Ooh.
Number 5, Justin Madubuike. Number 6, Tyler Linderbaum.
Ooh.
Number 7, Zay Flowers. Number 8, Mark Andrews.
Whoa, down a little bit.
Niner is Justin Tucker. And this one could be kind of interesting to debate if you choose to do so. Number 10, Marlon Humphrey.
What?
Marlon Humphrey.
Damn, Jonas.
Coming in at number 10.
I'd like to ask him. Jonas Colback.
Yeah, Ronnie Stanley. Okay, maybe 5 years ago he's in this top 10.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Marlon's spot would probably be underrated at that time. But what about, you know, Marcus Williams? I guess the injuries have...
Well, Stevens would be ahead of Humphrey,
Brandon,
in my opinion.
There you go. Brandon Stevens, who really blossomed last year as the Ravens' number one cornerback. But, you know, it goes to show you how good the team is. But Marlon Humphrey seems to be a player and just turned 28. Let's stress that. Still young. Who seems to be in the decline, not on the ascend, where Stevens is kind of the opposite. He's ascending to a big payday, where Marlon just seems to be hanging on a little bit.
Well, Stevens, you're right. Stevens is due for a payday, and Humphrey's due for a pay cut.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a nice thing to debate, no doubt about it. And, you know, hopefully there'll be some other players that come out of nowhere. Maybe a Dafe Owe finally turn. Yeah, Rashad Bateman Isaiah Likely, maybe, depending on how he and Andrews could coexist as productive parts of a Todd Monken offense.
You know what would have been interesting, Bob? Say Keaton Mitchell didn't get hurt. Where would he be? Do they trade for Henry if Mitchell had a big year?
That's a very interesting question, but he's hurt.
Yep.
Hopefully he'll be back at some point. But let's get to the Orioles as we stay with the Baltimore banner. We talk Jonas Schaefer. Let's welcome back to the show. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Orioles taking on the Yankees. 3-game series. First place is on the line. Can't undersell this thing or oversell it. Let's bring in Danielle Allentuck. Danielle, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Of course. Happy to be here.
Yeah, well, appreciate your time. I know you're busy because the Birds and Yankees got a lot to play for tonight heading into the break. Orioles got embarrassed by the Cubs, no other way to say it, as they go quietly 3-game sweep. But it seemed as though Brandon Hyde was frustrated with the Orioles' offensive approach, especially with runners in scoring position. Last year, Orioles led Major League Baseball with 287 batting average, runners in scoring position. Yeah, 287. This year, they're 17th. Danielle, I know there's a lot of layers to this, but why the significant drop-off in that category, especially where they are right now, what, 0 for their last 17 with that situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're exactly right. That was the story in the first two games. Last night, they just couldn't get anything going at all, any hits at all. I think it's the makeup of the team. The way that they're scoring this year is very home run dependent. You know, they lead the majors in homers, and that's all great and all, but kind of the situational hitting has fallen off as a result. They have all these power guys, and they're just always trying to get that big hit in those situations. You know, they're trying to get that homer when guys are on base and they need it, instead of necessarily just, you know, taking a single, you know, driving in one run at a time. You're just kind of missing that aspect on this team right now. I think some of that does come from, you know, being a younger team. You know, they all want to be the hero in those situations and come up big. But a lot of it is just, you know, kind of switching that mentality for them.
Now, Danielle, you're in that clubhouse all the time, so you certainly have a better grasp of this than we do, sitting on our butts watching the games on television. But with the All-Star break looming, got 5 All-Stars, the Yankees series, which starts tonight, when the Cubs come to town, at the time they were in last place, maybe a little overlookage there, at least game 1 or 2, maybe?
I don't know if it was overlooked. I think that they're all definitely ready for the All-Star break. And I think that just the NL Central, for whatever reason, has given them so much trouble over the past 2 years. I don't know if anybody has an explanation for that. Hyde certainly didn't, and neither did the players in the clubhouse. But just something about when that division comes to town, they just have so much trouble. And maybe you're right. Maybe they are completely overlooking them because it is kind of a weaker division. But you saw what happened in St. Louis earlier when they got swept there and just didn't play well at all either. So I don't know if it was – I think it was just kind of a combination of factors. It was probably the worst series I've seen them play in the past 2 years.
Danielle Allentuck, Baltimore Banner, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Orioles taking on the Yankees, 7:05 first pitch. Cade Povich against Gerrit Cole. I know the trade deadline coming up here, Danielle, in a couple of weeks. What sort of intel are you getting in regards to what Mike Elias might be doing? Everybody's going to need pitching. It's not like everyone's about to deal Paul Skeens or Tarek Skubal to the Orioles just to make us feel great about ourselves. So what or how creative, I guess, could Mike Elias be in trying to add another piece to both the bullpen and the rotation?
I think he just needs to be willing to do whatever it takes to get a starter in particular, but some bullpen help too, because you never know how Danny Coulomb's going to look when he comes back in September, if he's even going to stay on time and be able to come back then. So they need pitching help. You know, right now their starting pitching is no better than they were a year ago when they got bounced in the playoffs in 3 games. So they need to find an arm. They have the prospects to deal. You know, everybody knows that they have the prospects. It's just a matter of what are they willing to part with. And it's going to take a lot to get a strong starter at this point in the year. You know, they don't even necessarily need a depth piece. They need that number two, number three guy to help them out in the postseason. And it's just how willing is this new ownership group and Mike Elias going to be to part with some of these young guys to bring that in.
Hey, Danielle, we got the draft coming up on Sunday, and Elias doesn't like to take pitchers. Now, and I asked Bob this earlier, if the Orioles had that first pick what was it, last year? They have taken, would Elias have taken Paul Skeens?
Oh, interesting scenario. I would like to say yes.
so would we.
But I think if it was last year, my answer was yes. If it was 4 years ago, my answer would have been no. The only reason I changed the answer if it was last year is because they already have kind of the young position players and they're close to the majors. So he already knows that they're successful and he has them under control for a couple years. And so I think he may have been more willing to go get a pitcher. But Paul Skeens is like a once-in-a-generation talent. I think anybody would have been dumb to pass over him.
Now, Bob's been singing this for the last couple of days. Like with Kerstead, doesn't he need to face some left-handed pitchers, you know, to be able to hit left-handed pitching?
I mean, I agree. I mean, I think the same thing could be said for Jackson Holliday. You know, they kept saying the same thing about him, that he couldn't hit left-handed pitching, but they never played him against left-handed pitching.
Well, so just like Kerstead really wasn't a good fielder, you know, and he's played pretty good in the field.
And they're playing him in left field every night, which is one of the toughest spots there, and he's looked fine to me there. So, I think that he should get a chance. You know, I don't think you really know what you have in a player until you put them in all situations. And I think with Kerstead in particular, they kind of put him in this box where they were like, okay, he can only hit, you know, one side and he can't play defense. We're just going to use him as a DH on select nights. And I think the more opportunities they've given him, the more that they've seen that, you know, maybe he's gotten a lot better, or maybe that they were just wrong for boxing him in like that.
Danielle Allen Tuck, Baltimore Banner, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Danielle, last thing for you. Get out the Baltimore Banner crystal ball on Monday morning. Will the Orioles still be in first place in the American League's Eastern Division?
I say yes, but only a one-game lead.
Oh! Danielle, don't make me do math. That doesn't sound good for the Orioles. Danielle, appreciate the time. Have fun this weekend at Camden Yards. Enjoy the All-Star break, and we'll talk to you in the second half.
Thanks, Danielle.
Thank you.
You got it, Danielle Allen Tuck. We'll come back. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw. Inside Access live from Pickles. And then it's Baltimore baseball tonight. Me and Jim Hunter, we're going to be inside of Pickles having a little fun with you and Yankee fans. By the way, Yankees, they don't wear the names on the back of their jersey. And then it's Baltimore baseball tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Me and Jim Hunter. I will say this. Make room. Make room. Don't crowd us. Just clear some space. Rashawn Trippi, if you're coming down to the game, we're going to be in Pickles. So make sure you don't come empty-handed, but just don't crowd us. Jim likes his private space, his personal space. Don't mess with him. We're trying to do the show. And again, when we have the headphones on, that means we're on the air. Can't hear a word you say. Headphones means air. We're on the air. But we'll be at Pickles tonight, so stop by and say hello. It's going to be crowded. It's raining. It sucks. I'd prefer 99 with 100% humidity than standing outside and having a little fun doing what we got to do. But we'll improvise and adapt just like Brandon and I are going to have to do with his Orioles over the weekend against the Yankees. And Mike Elias coming up at the trade deadline. Now, Nolan, you and I are both off next week. I'm going to Wildwood, nothing super fancy. I like Wildwood, and we're going to have some fun in New Jersey. But where are you going?
A big deal for me, leaving the time zone for the first time in my life. I made it to 28 years old.
Somehow
never did it. So going to California, flying to San Diego tomorrow, there till Wednesday, then taking the train up to L.A., and we'll be there until the following Saturday. So we're doing two cities there in California, try to see as much as we can.
Nice. Say hi to Ron Burgundy while you're out.
I'll try.
San Diego, for sure. But I'm off next week. Nolan's off next week. So Cordell and Tim Barbalace will be filling in here. And I believe Ben Hall and Joe LaCroix will be filling your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Those big shoes that they are to fill. Ravens rookies report tomorrow. Quarterbacks and injured vets on Monday. Full squad on the 20th. 9 days from today, training camp 2021 begins. Out at One Winning Drive, season opener, September 5th against Kansas City. Again, the Orioles head into the All-Star break right now in first place, trying to maintain that advantage on top of the American League East. Hopefully they can. Nolan, you ready to get out of here? I got to drive downtown, man. How about a little fun, huh?
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First one here talking about the Yankees and Orioles series. Texter says, I would hope that all the hit batter nonsense is behind both of these teams at this point. They both should be more concerned with actually playing quality baseball than any sort of revenge they may be seeking.
Yeah, I don't see the Orioles getting into any of that bean brawl nonsense. And bean brawl means you throw it to head, hence the bean. But plunkage, I thought Gunnar got hit intentionally in that last series in the Bronx. Maybe if the Orioles are winning 11-0 in Sunday's finale, Volpe takes one between the numbers there. But I would think the Orioles will take the high road. And as the texter said, just win the series, go to Arlington, have a little fun at the All-Star break.
A couple here on the Ravens list of top Ravens or top at their respective positions, rather. Texter says, no votes for likely. Does make sense. He'll always be in the shadow of Andrews as long as they're both on the roster. But I would probably take him over half the tight ends in the league based on what I saw last year. Unfortunately, his true time to flourish won't be in Baltimore.
If they're using a lot of two tights, I mean, look at when the Patriots were real good, you know, when they had Gronk and Hernandez. You know, so I think two tight ends can be a possibility with success with both. But there is a lot of good tight ends in the league, you know, and him not being a top tight end in the league, I can definitely see that because, I mean, you and more of them keep coming in every year.
He played like an all-pro, though, when Andrews got hurt.
He played good.
Now at safety, Hamilton was not number one. Winfield there in Tampa got the nod as the top safety in the league, this texter says. As far as the size difference, Hamilton's concern, speed not an issue to me. When you got freakishly long arms, you can make up way more ground than you're supposed to.
I don't know about long arms making up ground. Long legs help you make up ground. But if you like the summary that you read, Bob, about Hamilton compared to what you read about Winfield, seems like Hamilton's response was much better and more elaborate than Winfield.
Yeah, and I don't. I'm trying to think. I'm not saying there hasn't been an instance. I don't ever remember seeing Hamilton chase in a futile way where he's just getting housed down the middle of the field.
No, not a tight end's not going to outrun him. You know, and I don't see him getting outrunning. He plays the slot. He plays receivers in the slot. So, I don't see that.
Last one here from Stephen Glenn Burney, talking Orioles, says, in the beginning of the season, if I proposed a hypothetical trade of Jackson Holliday and Kobe Mayo for Paul Skeens, Orioles fans would have called me crazy, too much to give up, now seemingly not enough. Or at least that's what Pittsburgh would tell you. If you were managing both sides, how would you handle that hypothetical trade?
Yeah, look, Pittsburgh's not trading this guy because he might be the best pitcher in baseball for the next 10 years. The downside of that, when you throw over 100 miles an hour, which he does consistently, you're just expecting, unfortunately, like you saw with Strasburg.
Yep.
You know, the elbow, just it's an unnatural act to throw a baseball at that pace. I want to see Paul Skeens unscathed health-wise for 10 years and see what he could become, because we saw what Strasburg was capable of when healthy. But yeah, if you go, we'll give you a Holiday, Grayson Rodriguez, and Kobe Mayo, they might be like, hey, go bleep yourself. Then again, if I'm the Pirates, I mean, he's one guy. We got three.
Right.
I don't think I'd make that trade. What about you, Nolan?
Well, I mean, Grayson wasn't throwing in Grayson there, I mean, it'd be a no-brainer.
Well, if I'm Pittsburgh, I want a pitcher in return.
Yeah, but that's so...
your best pitcher, as a matter of fact.
As Steve puts it here, a two-for-one, the Orioles' top two, or among their top two, Mayo and Holliday, still a lot of untapped potential versus actual on-field results.
Sure.
You know, only 60-some innings, but it's hard to weigh a pitcher against a position player, or multiple ones at that, just because of the injury factor, like you said.
Yeah, and he pitches every fifth day. These guys play every single day.
He puts butts in the stands, too, you know. The Pittsburgh fans, they would run those people out of town that traded him.
I think, yeah, both fan bases would say no. I think,
The Orioles fans may want Skeens.
Orioles are in first place. The Pirates are in fifth. Orioles at first, they're fourth or fifth. I'd still take the position player over the pitcher any single day. I want the pitcher to add to the positional strength that you have. And by the way, starting officially now, the only two-for-one I'm worried about is the drink special I'm getting in Wildwood. So screws Paul Skeens and the Pirates. We're all about the Orioles and the Yankees. Baltimore baseball tonight coming up at 6 o'clock. Me and Jim Hunter brought to you by Salvo live from Pickles Pub. But Inside Access is coming up next. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bobby Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you when we talk to you. For now, class dismissed. And then it's Baltimore baseball tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, me and Jim Hunter. I will say this, make room. Make room. Don't crowd us. Just clear some space. Rashawn Trippi, if you're coming down to the game, we're going to be in pickles. So make sure you don't come empty-handed. But just don't crowd us. Jim likes his private space, his personal space. Don't mess with him. We're trying to do the show. And again, when we have the headphones on, that means we're on the air. Can't hear a word you say. Headphones means air. We're on the air. But we'll be at Pickles tonight, so stop by and say hello. It's going to be crowded. It's raining. It sucks. I'd prefer 99 with 100% humidity than standing outside and having a little fun doing what we got to do. But we'll improvise and adapt just like Brandon Hyde's going to have to do with his Orioles over the weekend against the Yankees. And Mike Elias coming up at the trade deadline. Now, Nolan, you and I are both off next week. I'm going to Wildwood, nothing super fancy. I like Wildwood, and we're going to have some fun in New Jersey. But where are you going?
Big deal for me, leaving the time zone for the first time in my life. I made it to 28 years old.
No way.
Somehow never did it. So going to California, flying to San Diego tomorrow, there till Wednesday, then taking the train up to L.A., and we'll be there until the following Saturday. So we're doing two cities there in California. Try to see as much as we can.
Nice. Say hi to Ron Burgundy while you're out.
I'll try.
San Diego, for sure. But I'm off next week. Nolan's off next week. So Cordell and Tim Barbalace will be filling in here. And I believe Ben Hall and Joe LaCroix will be filling your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Those big shoes that they are to fill. Ravens rookies report tomorrow. Quarterbacks and injured vets on Monday. Full squad on the 20th. 9 days from today, training camp 2021 begins out at One Winning Drive. Season opener, September 5th against Kansas City. Again, the Orioles head into the All-Star break right now in first place, trying to maintain that advantage on top of the American League East. Hopefully they can. Nolan, you ready to get out of here? I got to drive downtown, man. How about a little fun house?
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First one here talking about the Yankees and Orioles series. Texter says, I would hope that all the hit batter nonsense is behind both of these teams at this point. They both should be more concerned with actually playing quality baseball than any sort of revenge they may be seeking.
Yeah, I don't see the Orioles getting into any of that bean brawl nonsense. And bean brawl means you throw it to head, hence the bean. But plunkage, I thought Gunner got hit intentionally in that last series in the Bronx. Maybe if the Orioles are winning 11-0 in Sunday's finale, Volpe takes one between the numbers there, but I would think the Orioles will take the high road. And as the texter said, just win the series, go to Arlington, have a little fun at the All-Star break.
A couple here on the Ravens list of top Ravens or top at their respective positions. Rather, texter says no votes for likely. Does make sense. He'll always be in the shadow of Andrews as long as they're both on the roster. But I would probably take him over half the tight ends in the league based on what I saw last year. Unfortunately, his true time to flourish won't be in Baltimore.
If they're using a lot of two tights, I mean, look at when the Patriots were real good, you know, when they had Gronk and Hernandez. You know, so I think two tight ends can be a possibility with success with both. But there is a lot of good tight ends in the league. You know, and him not being a top tight end in the league, I can definitely see that. Because, I mean, you and more of them keep coming in every year.
He played like an all-pro, though, when Andrews got hurt.
He played good.
Now at safety, Hamilton was not number one. Winfield there in Tampa got the nod as the top safety in the league, this texter says. As far as the size difference, and Hamilton's concerned, speed not an issue to me. When you got freakishly long arms, you can make up way more ground than you're supposed to.
I don't know about long arms making up ground. Long legs help you make up ground. But if you, like, the summary that you read, Bob, about Hamilton compared to what you read about Winfield, seems like Hamilton's response was much, much better and more elaborate than Winfield's.
Yeah, and I don't, I'm trying to think, I'm not saying there hasn't been an instance, I don't ever remember seeing Hamilton chase in a futile way where he's just getting housed down the middle of the field.
No, not a tight end's not going to outrun him, you know. And I don't see him getting outrunning. He plays the slot, he plays receivers in the slot. So I don't see that.
Last one here from Stephen Glenn Burney, talking Orioles, says in the beginning of the season, if I proposed a hypothetical trade of Jackson Holliday and Kobe Mayo for Paul Skeens, Orioles fans would have called me crazy, too much to give up. Now, seemingly not enough. Or at least that's what Pittsburgh would tell you. If you were managing both sides, how would you handle that hypothetical trade?
Yeah, look, Pittsburgh's not trading this guy because he might be the best pitcher in baseball for the next 10 years. The downside of that, when you throw over 100 miles an hour, which he does consistently, you're just expecting, unfortunately, like you saw with Strasburg.
Yep.
You know, the elbow just, it's an unnatural act to throw a baseball at that pace. I want to see Paul Skeens unscathed health-wise for 10 years and see what he could become, because we saw what Strasburg was capable of when healthy. But, yeah, if you go, we'll give you a Holiday, Grayson Rodriguez, and Kobe Mayo, they might be like, hey, go bleep yourself. Then again, from the Pirates, I mean, he's one guy. We got three. Yeah, I don't think I'd make that trade. What about you, Nolan?
Well, I mean, Grayson wasn't throwing in Grayson there. I mean, it'd be a no-brainer.
Well, if I'm Pittsburgh, I want a pitcher in return.
Yeah, but that's so
your best pitcher, as a matter of fact.
As Steve puts it here, a 2-for-1. The Orioles' top two, or among their top two, Mayo and Holliday, still a lot of untapped potential versus actual on-field results.
Sure,
you know, only 60-some innings, but it's hard to weigh a pitcher against a position player, or multiple ones at that, just because of the injury factor, like you said.
Yeah, and he pitches every fifth day. These guys play every single day.
He puts butts in the stands, too, you know. The Pittsburgh fans, they would run those people out of town that traded him.
I think, both fan bases would say no. I think.
The Orioles fans may want Skeens.
Orioles are in first place. The Pirates are in fifth. Orioles at first, they're fourth or fifth. I'd still take the position player over the pitcher any single day. I want the pitcher to add to the positional strength that you have. And by the way, starting officially now, the only 2-for-1 I'm worried about is the drink special I'm getting in Wildwood. So screws Paul Skeens and the Pirates. We're all about the Orioles and the Yankees. Baltimore baseball tonight coming up at 6 o'clock. Me and Jim Hunter brought to you by Salvo Live from Pickles Pub. But Inside Access is coming up next. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bobby Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you when we talk to you. For now, class dismissed.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.